taught us in seminar, not do the same thing every time you preach. So anyway, my early years were spent in Ohio. That's where most of my relatives live. I've still got a bunch of cousins back there. And every grandparent worked for a different rubber company. Goodyear, Goodrich, Uniroyal, Firestone. Christmas, Easter, you know, we talk tires. I did not want to follow in their footsteps. Anyway, my grandfather raised me, was B.F. Goodrich, and he did not have a college education, but he rose in the ranks. I don't know whether he was trying to or not, but most of us do want to get ahead in our jobs. And there's nothing wrong with that. He had a competition with my uncle, who also got a job at B.F. Goodrich and had a better income, although we did pretty good ourselves, and then also a nicer house, and there was a bit of jealousy over the years about who's getting ahead and that sort of thing. At the end of, in 1968, my grandfather got a promotion and went out to California, became the rep for the entire West Coast for, among other things, aircraft tires. And so I remember accompanying him out to the tarmac. He had a special badge to get in there. Kind of interesting to inspect the planes to make sure that the product was right. And one of the, somebody came up, I don't know, it was some supervisor for an airline. And they come up and they said, I don't like the answer that your companies give. I want to talk to an authority higher than you. And my father said, for your information, I am the B.F. Goodrich Company. Do you ever say that? I only say that because that was the level to which he had risen. But after 30 years with the company, and other people told me they've gotten this, I found this again out in a drawer after so many years. This is what he got. Presented to Eugene Zern, appreciation for 30 years at the B.F. Goodrich Company. He retired. He was no longer the B.F. Goodrich Company. That's hard for men. He died 3 months later. So much for retirement, huh? He also lost his identity. Interestingly enough, I didn't say it's last math, in the drawer right with it was my old lanyard here, if I can get it on. It used to get me into the airline places that you can't go. And anyway, colleagues, my life's still tied in knots. Look at that. Anyway, Our Lady of Knots, pray for us. So I looked at the hire date. I thought, my God, my father worked 30 years at the same company. Well, it's 36 for this. So if I had to stay, it would be 35 years and retired. I said, I got a job where you never retire. How about that? And we had climbers there, too. And nobody likes them. You know, they'll step on you to get ahead. I had one supervisor who was just wonderful. And we remember her with great fondness. A role model for how to inspire people, which is simply, you know, firmness and kindness, collaboration and making you feel special. You'd do anything for people like that. And a servant in charge is what she was. And we're still Facebook friends. And she turned out to be Catholic, so she followed my vocation when I left. It was interesting. But my point in saying that is James and John are climbers. Here we find out why some of the disciples said yes to Jesus. They had mixed motives. Read between the lines. James and John wanted to get ahead. Most of them thought, and you can see why they did, that Jesus was the Messiah, going to kick the Romans out, and they're going to be in charge, and he's going to be the number one guy, and they want to be part of the action. They want to be in the leadership or the executive of this new country. Simon the Zealots were, that party was dedicated to the violent overthrow of the Roman Empire. They were responsible for the Jewish war that destroyed the nation of Israel. You can bet Simon was hoping Jesus was going to be somebody like that. Judas was so disappointed in Jesus, he turned him in. And so it goes. You know, Peter says to Jesus at one point, he said, okay, if rich young man is a runaway, he says, what about us? We've given everything up for you. What are we going to get? What a crass remark to make. But Jesus isn't offended by that. He says, you're going to receive 100 times the homes and boats that you have given up for me. And I might add time, treasure, talent, the little things that we do for others are going to come back in spades. What lasts and what doesn't. What's important to God and what isn't. James and John, who started out like this, by the way, in the other gospel, their mother comes up and asks Jesus, would you hire anybody? His mother comes up and asks, and they're standing behind there. Are these leaders that you want? So your mother has to come up and ask you? My mother got me a job once, but I won't talk about it. Said, you want a car, you pay for it, right? Anybody had that discussion with a teenager? So James and John gave his life to the faith. He did drink the cup. I mean, James did, the cup that Jesus offered. John lived a long life taking care of the Virgin Mary in Ephesus and wrote the most sublime gospel that we have in perfect Greek. And so you can see there was a progression. We too have mixed motives for everything we do. We're not perfect. We're not angels. We always want to receive something. Very few acts are pure. The Lord knows that. He takes us as we are. It's a very comforting gospel. But we find that they were going about it the wrong way. We are in a temporary world. We are in a hiring interview. That is what this is. God has a perfect place in heaven for each one of us. He wants us to go there. There is an alternative. If we don't want him, he will let us go where we want. But what he really wants is that you find the perfect level and place in heaven where he is preparing a home. Remember, he was a carpenter. So spiritually, a real home in a nice neighborhood and with pictures on the wall. And I always imagine those pictures are not what we think. For me, it would be the day I left the airline. I can see that like it was yesterday. Boy, talk about a day, or the day you got married or something, or whatever, if somebody died. It'll be the little things that you didn't know you did that had the most profound effect, that rippled all the way through time, and you won't even know you did it. That's what will be there. And so our Lord tells us, please, strive to get ahead in my kingdom. Don't act like it's not important. Strive to be wealthy in heaven. You know, even temporal goods, he expects us to do what we can. He doesn't expect us to sit on our money and do nothing, our time and do nothing. We do good with it. We help our families. But we also want to take that same knowledge that we do on earth and invest in heaven, invest in ourselves, invest in others. These opportunities will come by. And when we recognize it, this is what I mean about what's gone now, clarity versus fuzziness. Thank you, Dan. Never mind. It's like putting on a pair of glasses. Things go into focus. What matters? You run into somebody and you hold the door. You're kind to, I was kind to a grocery checker. Somebody gave her a hard time. I just said, boy, life sure passes you by. She said, brother, don't I know it. And many of them don't even acknowledge me when I say hello. You see, that's how you get ahead in heaven. Nobody's going to thank you for that. A little money in the till, you're going through McDonald's or something, and you put something in for the breast cancer research. There's always something, a little spontaneous gift. You know, we tithe here. This is one of the most active parishes in the diocese. Did you know that? 135 ministries. Nobody knows how we do it. You do it. This parish is active. It's always been active. Even when I got here, there were so many people that were volunteering. Like that, I bring it up again, that Friendship Brigade, there's still people signing up for that. The lady that came over here can't believe it. It's 31 people. And, you know, it's one person at a time, isn't it? I invited her thinking, a couple of seniors that are lonely, that makes a difference. Let's take a chance. Unbelievable response. And there's so many ways that we can serve. The primary one is our families, isn't it? And there's always somebody that is a troublemaker, you know. But that's part of, maybe we're the troublemaker, but we're supposed to. I see there's a few of you out there. And you drive like that too, but we won't get into that. But you know, in many ways, you know, I've been honest with you, like Deacon Michael, I lived in San Diego 7 years. Unfortunately, I left 2 years before you were born, but anyway. Isn't that awful? You know you're getting old when. For Californians that come up here, and I've been here almost 30 years, it's very hard. People here are much more patient. And we are not down there. The traffic is, maybe it changes you. And when you're kind to somebody who's slower, gets on the freeway 20 miles an hour slower than they should, and you're kind to them, it means something. Being mean to somebody means something. It ripples through time. And that's what God is. He's going to say, didn't you listen to me? Didn't you understand that to get ahead is to serve? What did I do? Jesus had everything. And he emptied himself even to the point of going to death and carrying the sins on his back, the shame. Everybody thought he was so guilty, claiming to be God. And he allowed that to give us an example. The times that we're insulted or we're not recognized for something we did or criticized in a little group that we're in, we don't throw the keys back. We acknowledge we've had a chance to have humility. You give a gift to a relative or a friend, you never hear anything. I gave a gift to two nuns, and I've been waiting 4 months to get a response. We're still friends, but, you know, for now. We had an incident here on Friday. I just came into the vestibule, and, of course, somebody says, oh, Father, you're just who I want to see. And I'm thinking, you're not who I want to see. But I came because I knew there was an issue. There was a bus out there with a boy on it, and they were dropping him off in front of the church. I said, why you brought him up here? Well, there's no other... I said, where's the parent? So we had about 20 minutes, and I think a cell phone call took care of it. But that's life. You walk away from it, you know, and you've missed your chance to die to yourself a little bit and help somebody. And that it comes unexpected often. And the Lord says, you want to get ahead, you want to become pure, you want to become holy, why don't you allow me to guide you and don't just bulldoze through life, just climbing and pushing and shoving and grabbing and getting all you can. And then, and my father wasn't like that, but then you come to the end of that, they give you a gold watch and it's all over. This is a temporary world. We do need to get ahead here. We do need these things. But we remember, this is just an echo of a world that will never end. We're about to enter November, All Souls Day, and the month of November we'll have all the envelopes of our loved ones. Mine are already in there. It takes two envelopes to get them in there. But with that, they're a reminder to us that they were here. I'm going to finish with something I meant to say at all the other masses and forgot. I've had my grandparents' bedroom set for 35 years now. It's a beautiful, beautiful walnut bedroom set, and I'm very glad it got through the seminary intact in storage. But there's a line I've never forgotten, and it said, if you've ever slept in somebody else's bed, don't forget that you will go the same way. And I get into that bed, I think of them, and I miss them very much, even now. But, get all teary-eyed when I think of them. But one of them was the mass intention last week. But they're a reminder that to work now, because in a short time we can only reap the rewards of our labor. And that reward will last forever.